And the last side of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Thursday, the 19th of August, 71, Channel 2 over, beginning of Channel 2 over, and the end of the visit, last side of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Thursday, the 19th of August, 71.
Shipyard then they transferred him to Alabama, you know, just more than And he told us, as I'm old, he says, I'll be going at least a month. He says, for God's sake, pay my watchman fee. Uh-huh. I said, they were $3.15. He says, pay it. I'll say about it. And then he come back. Said the Maggie company, Eddie, and he was come in with a notice from the large woodsman. And he looked and opened it up and read it. Hadn't been paid. Says, Maud, I told you to pay my fee on my woodsman fee. I didn't think it'd take cause all that much trouble them notifying. He says, there's 2-3 letters they're saying in here about it. He says, and you've read them? Yes, I've read them and burned them up.
Oh my goodness.
She says, all right. He says, I am now dropping my woodsman, dropping the lodge fee, everything. What are you going to do then, Trump? He says, well, when I tell you to pay it, you won't pay it. That's what I'm going to do. Because I'm going to my last lodge fee, and I'm going to come take my name over, and I'm going to be darn sure that you don't get 1 cent out of this, because if my children can't get it, you won't get it. Because now I can't pay it, and I tell you to pay for me and leave the money here to pay for it, and you won't get it. Now, because that's another batch of money you won't get. She wants him to just change everything. Put it all in her name and not have us children in it at all. Because that one time he told she knew that she was greedy about money. You know? Oh, well, her first husband got shipwrecked the day the divorce come in. She had put in for divorce on her first husband, and he was out on then some kind of work on a ship out from New York. And the Lord come in that his ship had been, anyway, he was drowned on that ship. Something happened to him. He got wrecked or something. And he was one of them that wasn't saved. Said her mother to her, says, well, says, now, you're free. Says, what are you cussing about, Maud? Says, you're free if he's gone. Says, you don't have to. Here comes the divorce then. He had done signed it, you see, so she could have her divorce. And he was shipwrecked, and he never was heard from him.
That's something, wasn't it?
And then, yeah, I don't know why, but she got out of him.
I'm off
down here in Florida and met up with a man pretty well to do, Billy Barron. He didn't have no wife, but he had a big dairy and a big orange grove. She hooked on to him. Now he finally died. Well, they should have had all that. And she didn't want to take her father in and take care of him while he was down here hunting a place to buy or settle down. Finally, he thought he had a place fixed for a mother to come down. You know, they'd go back in the winter. They'd come down in the winter and go back in the summer. And that's where she hooked Papa.
Oh.
And she didn't want Papa to touch this. She didn't want Papa to touch that. And she didn't want him to do this or do that. So he had to sell his horse and his wagon and all the buggy we left down there, a lot of furniture and stuff that we left down there when we come down to Martin. And we went. I didn't have no children then, but I was kind of looking for one at that time. And boy, if she'd come out in that yard and I could have got hold of something, I think I'd have flamed her good. We slept in the day. It was 6 now. She kept the house part for her and Papa to sleep in. And then when we went down there, we had to sleep in the big old dairy. It was cleaned up, fixed up. Now she was clean. Oh, she didn't let nothing, no gut go under her foot. Ma'am, what's that?
That's just plain water. I thought maybe you needed a little sip if you were coughing.
I didn't bring my wine either.
Well, don't look at me.
Maggie and Eddie had cleaned off the yard. It was on Saturday and they cleaned off the yard good. And Maggie went to put the rake back under the house where she kept it, you know. And Ma's walking down. Maggie was peeping in her room. She'd come ran out and call Maggie in the kitchen. Said, now let me tell you, I never want you to peep in my window anymore. Won't you looking in my room when? She said, Ma says, I wasn't looking in your you're a liar. And I slapped in the face and she did. Maggie turned to run out and she grabbed them. I got up on the step. I said, hold it. I said, don't you put your hands on her again. I says, I ain't in no shape to fight you. I says, but I can put the law on you. I says, law says, beat your child around the head, most especially a stepchild. Boy, she got some enemies. Just to them, and looked like she was going to foam its mouth. I said, all I said now. I said, don't you put your hand on her to whoop her anymore, not as long as I'm here. I said, do you gonna have to whip me? I said, that ain't gonna work, for I ain't in no condition to fight. I said, but I'll fight you if I have to. And Papa and Frank heard the name come out on the horn. I said, Ma's slapping Maggie around over the head, and I said, I ain't gonna put up with it. Papa says, now Ma says, I've told you to never slap Maggie or Eddie, either one, Ma or Rosalie, any of them, in the face, and I don't like it. Says, none of the fellow knows that's the rule. What's the deal? But she got nothing to come in here telling me how to raise her. I says, Maggie's done raised. I says, all she needs is somebody to love and care for, take care of. And if you've never had no children of your own, you don't know what a mother's love is. She says, well, what about you? I says, well, I'm on the road to having one. I says, and I know that the mother's love there. I said, wasn't for that. I says, woman, I'd drag you all over this floor. And Frank comes over and Papa says, I don't say any more to him. I says, she ain't in no condition to be hit. Frank come over and put his arm around. He said, don't talk that way, sir. I said, don't talk that. Stand here and see that Yankee beat my sister around in the face. Boy, the Yankee slipped out before I could. Never thought to stop. Didn't care. Don't care now. But I believe she'd went on to Maggie again. Me and Rosalie would have just had to take her down and tore her up. Rosalie, she'd come from around on the other side of the house where she was working. No, she'd come out of the dairy where she'd been out there cleaning up, making up the bed where me and Frank and she and Maggie'd slept out there on a caught a mattress on the floor. And Derry was nice, you know, made a nice little home. And I told Frank, I come to see Papa and the girls and Eddie. I said, I'm about ready to go back home.
You want to wash your hands before you eat a little bite?
I said, if I stay here and see much more, I said, somebody's going to have to do something. Yeah, somewhere while I wish them.
Right in here?
Wish them in there?
Chocolate ice cream.
No.
Are you? We're
no.
Very fine. You're not
going to
eat any ice cream?
No, Mike, I won't eat it.
You don't eat ice cream?
I eat, but I don't like chocolate ice cream.
Well, you What kind do you like?
If you done got it out here, I'll get him out of here.
Give it a little face, a little touch.
Somebody is going to put it in.
I'll give you a little bit.
Hey,
Cindy,
I didn't. Don't worry about a big spoonful. I didn't know.
Okay.
Let me tell you, I hate to be the hold up everything, but I didn't hear you say what happened to that fish.
I don't know. Last count I had, Rosalie said she was about 2 weeks later and the fish was still laying out on the table.
Still there. Now, all that happened over there at Callahan.
Jacksonville.
That's
when Rosalie married.
That's before she married.
She pushed out here and yonder to work. She's going to get a pretty good job. Mom wanted to hand over the money. The last job she worked, I told she wasn't going to do it. Says, I got my job and I got my place to stay. Says, I just run in here to see Papa and Maggie. And
that's what you told me,
just the principal. Out of bill,
boom. Just right.
No cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got some.
Open them in there.
I got sick on chocolate ice cream one time. I never cared much for it soon.
Yeah. Now, where did the dairy come in, Ms. Betty? Is he fair? You just won't.
Well, my stepmother's husband had a dairy and had cows, had a big orange grove. Like he died, but she got shut of the cows and tried to get shut of the grove, but she couldn't.
Now, who had the dairy?
My stepmother.
That's the one we're talking about.
My father's second wife.
Yeah. Well, now, you really got into it, didn't you? But you were married then.
I told Papa I want to take Maggie back home with me. And I know I won't work life out of her bed. She'll be taken care of.
Well, wasn't you all living over here then, when your mother died?
Mm-mm. We were all living down there at Apopka when mother died, and then Orange County.
Well, when did you come up here?
We come up here in the fall of 15, and I've been up here ever since.
It was a year after your mother died.
But your father didn't come?
Mm-mm. He had the rest of the family to take care of.
So he wound up over in Jacksonville.
Hey, she married. My stepmother lived over that clock corner where Mr. Barron's on this grove. Big dairy. I used to just stay there a while, then they moved to Jacksonville. And they moved down. I can't remember the moved on when they moved in. He told me where they were at. Or Maggie did. So she could get out. He could tell her what he wants ropes and on. And she could get out and ride it. But if he wrote it, Ma had to know everything that was said.
Well,
and living in a small house and everything. I kept Eddie trotting around, working here and yonder, working here and yonder. Finally, they moved out from there into a bigger place.
Yeah.
And they let Meg come down and stay with us a while. She had a lot of help to me with Betty Ann at that, I mean Margaret at that time.
Oh yeah.
We had to finish up her school run up there before she could come down.
Yeah. So you never had headquarters over in Jacksonville. Mm-mm. But Rosalie did.
Rosalie worked up then, and she had a... She owned a home then.
Yeah.
I can't remember the first number. It's Jacksonville right on.
So in a way, you was sort of... You turned out to be a country girl, and she turned out to be a... Sort of a city girl, didn't she?
Yes. Baby. It's a mess, baby.
Well, now, over here, let me see. Uncle Martin. Now, did your daddy come over here before he died?
He visits.
Just visits.
He was living at, he went working the ship business up there, building ships. Then Jacksonville, and went from Jacksonville to Alabama.
Oh, goodness.
And they sent him up there for finishing works, you know.
Yeah.
They had put the rest of the machine and stuff in, but they want to probably do that finishing work around it.
Yeah.
And he come back. And they moved over on Lackawanna. And that's where they were living when me and Frank went up to see him and Maggie. Maggie, we didn't know her. Rosalie wasn't there. She was working in Waycross, Georgia at that time.
Uh-huh.
And Frank's sister and brother-in-law lived on Roselle Street.
Well, that's something, isn't it? All your family was brought up over here. In the country.
Yes, me, my children.
Yeah. All your children.
All born and raised right in Marion County.
Now, Frankie don't like to drive in traffic, does he?
Not too much.
But he can do it.
He can do it, but he don't like to.
I don't like to either. But now that little car just went right along.
Well, we had my youngest son's grandson, oldest son, his stepson, he went along with us and drove up and drove.
Oh, did he? He's a pretty good driver. How old is he?
He'll be 20.
Yeah.
I think he'll be 21 this March. And my oldest grandson will be 22, the 7th of this coming September.
Uh-huh. Well, now, let's see. That was you.
And my youngest grandson was 17. What was yesterday? 16 to the
17th. 18.
He was born on the 16th. Anyway, the 16th. I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
He was 17. What am I thinking about? He was 18.
Yeah.
And Betty Ann will be 18 the 9th of this coming February. Just that much difference between Dennis and Betty Ann.
But Rosalie has always loved to visit you, and then you all have visited her.
Not as much as she has us, because lots of times she gets a bus and come down and call us, and we'll go get her. Or she'll call us and let us know she's coming on the bus, and we'll be there and get her.
Yes. Yeah.
But leaving out like we do, it's kind of hard to... get off so easy. And she was pretty hard for her to get off now, where she's at.
Oh, it is, yes. Well, you know, I wondered about that, how you all just get up. Well, of course, Lehman stayed.
Sam and Margaret both stayed home Saturday.
Yeah.
She wanted us all at the thing. That's why I said, Rosalie, I said, there's so much that hasn't happened here yet. Around in any of the neighbors that I know of here yet has been bothered by someone breaking in. So, I don't know what all people's going and took off, and we all riding around. You don't know who's that.
Yeah.
And like we go to Bartels on Saturday evenings late, go in there, get supper, get groceries, round the house, go over to Reddick. Pick up Betty Ann, wait on her and Margaret to get through that, come back to Bartell. I do my trading then. And we get back home. And Lehman, he's hard to hear, and if he gets in that trailer and gets it closed up, fan going, you can't hear nothing.
Oh, you can't hear nothing. Oh. Unless you get up and look around, they could walk off of the house, couldn't they?
But if we all leave that, anybody can go in there and get anything they wanted.
Yes.
I haven't especially missed anything. But still, I reckon if I got to looking and hunting for something, something come to me, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what's on the place. I'll put it in such place. I go look, think there. Well, you go looking and hunting around. Maybe I'm looking and put somewhere else. Well, you don't find it. Somebody must have found it.
Oh, I lose so much stuff. I don't. It's simple.
And then
every time I put up something, you see, well, I can find it.
So if nothing happens and the weather's suitable, I think this Sunday week, we're going to get up real early and all going to meet at Kingsley Lake up there.
Mm-hmm. But you'd just be gone that day.
Just the day.
Yeah.
And anybody won't see anything in the daytime. It'd be afraid somebody be watching them from somewhere.
That's right. Yeah. Well,
you know, things can go at night in us right there. Dogs bark. Bark. Frank will get up and go out there. Don't shut up. Quiet down. And the next thing you know, it's quiet down. Well, I'll start again. But I imagine a lot of times there's stray dogs coming around.
Yeah. Now, does he have a light he can flash?
He has one of his hunting lights. He can put on his head and go all around looking and have his gun ready too.
With a great big battery.
Yes.
You
have to hang that on to him.
Yes.
In his pocket.
Well, that's about as good as you can do, I think. Now, is the mowing about to catch up, or are they still mowing?
I don't know, sir.
Haven't heard him say him.
Diana and a place where Frankie has mowed since he's been working for Mr. Albert. He's working for his daughter now, Henry Chitty.
Jeanette.
And he has worked them places before. But I don't know what they're doing now. Guess they have to work around where it's dry, because Frankie knows where them bog places are. And he don't want to get in them.
Yeah.
And he's using that old big...
Jumbo, he calls it.
Big old tractor.
Yeah.
And I imagine when you get that in a bog, you got something to pull out.
You have something to pull out.
Have to get another one or two to pull them out.
Yeah. You know, I'd like to be over there and see him operate some of that equipment. I never was around any big equipment like that.
I tell you, it looks like a tool folks sitting before one of the other tractors that you work for. You don't want them old big tractors. I know he looks worse than a frog sitting.
Yeah.
He said, well, Mama said, I'm on the bigger machine, I'm a little bit bigger frog.
Have I heard you speak of Charlie White before?
Did you the other day, I think. About the boys. No, I guess it did, about them smoking.
Yeah.
Charlie. He was in the army. Well, it was War I. Because he wasn't in the army with the boys this time.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. He was right smart older than them.
And he didn't care which way the wind blew. Just so he had a place to lay his head and satisfy his stomach.
Yeah.
He wore these army khaki clothes, you know, and leggings.
Oh.
And I think the only thing that he had changed from army dress was, excuse me, would be his hat.
Yeah.
And he did wear, for a long time, he wore one in the army when he was working on the road. He wore them hard cooter shell hats, we call them.
Yeah. Yeah.
No good thing with any of his army hats on. Always had a big old Roxy straw or a gray cowboy hat, something like that he'd wear, you know.
Yeah. And wear them old army leggings. You know, that wouldn't be a bad idea. If you're going to be out where it's rough.
Hey, come on. Brother Frank. Got things tied up and up, we can go fishing. I could look at him. Now, Charlie, he said, don't come here talking that way to me. He says, these boys have been on me ever since Monday morning. Mom, Daddy, hurry up. Let's get through it so we can go fishing. Hurry up. Let's go fishing.
Yeah.
He says, and I've told him, we get all this work to be done, we'll go fishing. For Daddy, you want to do this, you want to do that, you got to do that, you got to do that. So it be sad and won't get to go fishing. Says, so you all work. Work up, you know. Get Charlie there, get him, go get him a hole and let him help. Oh, I think I'll go on over to Brother John's. You're lazy. Tell the boy, he done work. And I done work, done my work all along with Uncle Sam. And now I'm going to rest.
He didn't stay there on the place with you all.
No, she just drop in for a night, maybe two or something like that. And Frank has got him to help him cut firewood, stove wood. We used a wood stove then, cooking stove. I said, "Yes, Charlie, if you don't help him cut some wood, I ain't gonna give you another meal." "Nah, Miss Chitty, you ain't gonna do me that bad. And if I have to go out and break up and chop up wood to cook with, just cook enough for myself and Frank and let the rest of you go." "Oh, no." He said, "When you going, Mr. Frank? When you going to go cutting wood?" Frank says, "Well," I says, "you want to, we'll take that cross-cut saw piano and the hammock up there, so there's a tree down, we'll saw it up into wood and split it up, or we'll put it in the wagon and roll it down here and split it up down here and cord it up." He says, "Let's go," he says, "'cause you're going to give us some dinner, ain't you?" He said, "I can't work on an empty stomach." "I'll give you some cornbread and peas. That's what we're going to eat. Got a little piece of meat to go with?" I said, "Yes." I said, "But the dog's got to have the bone." I said, "Got a ham bone cooked in the peas." I said, "Let the dog have big old teas.
Well, sir, wouldn't it be nice to have somebody like Charlie White coming around every now and then now?
Well, I don't know.
That can help you cut a little wood, fence a little, whatever you had going on.
That done that. That made me burp.
Let me tell you, Miss Eddie, you don't have anybody to help you do anything now.
No shit.
You see, if Frank needs some fencing or some roofing or something like that, he's got to do it himself. Ain't anybody he can call on. If you had somebody like Charlie White, that would be nice.
Frank, just tell him. See what? Charlie didn't come around much after Frank died. What is it? Oh, he married a woman I'm making opie, and here's from my hammer. Like to make it opie. And get up here, she gave him the devil, and he hike off back down there, I am. And she go back down there, give him the devil down there, and he hike it back. I run the man to death. When did he die? So I don't know if she died first or he died, but he come by the house running down. "Charlie, yeah, you're married." "Yes, I'm." Says, "And I'm sorry that day ever come to me."
Oh, man.
I said, "Well, you got your home." And, "No, no, the home's hers." Says, "Sometimes I'm afraid she ain't gonna let me even get into the kitchen table to eat, much less the dining table."
But he got along most of his time without any family.
Yes.
Cookie needs to go. Is there anything you want to tell him?
No.
He just said you just would have to get some guards.
Does he have any ideas about how? I go out and talk to him.
You talk to him.
Let me tell you. Miss Cindy needs to go out there and we want
this. Yeah, and then we'll walk.
That's the end. That's the end of the visit, Miss Chitty. 2 hours and a half. Channel 2 over, around 500, 600. I don't know what it is. Guessing. Maybe 600. Looks like it's over half. This Thursday afternoon, the 19th of August, 1971. It ought to be a red letter day with that last beautiful portrait of Charlie White when she has been talking for 2 hours and a half, plus the time she ate. Plus, the time over here is just beautiful. Charlie White. Charlie White. The end of the visit with Miss Chitty this Thursday at supper, the 19th of August, 1971.